This will be the shortest word you've ever heard. anyways, I'm going to back up a little bit and talk about what happened about a month or so ago, a month and a half ago. about a year ago, my dreams that the Lord was giving me just stopped. And I used to get them like at least once or twice a month. And so I went to David and I said, Lord, that's exactly what we don't want. I said, I've been troubled, and I don't know why the Lord hasn't given me any dreams. It's been almost a year. And right away, the enemy would come to you and saying, well, you must have done something, you know, pretty bad that the Lord's not talking to you in dreams anymore. But that's right from the pit. But sure enough, like 2 weeks after that, I had a dream. And that wasn't too long ago. And I'll tell you about my dream. In my dream, we were all standing in a stadium. I mean believers. We were all believers. It was like a stadium. And so there were probably hundreds, maybe even thousands of believers. And then I heard a voice from behind me saying, speak the word of the Lord. And I recognized the voice to be Neville Johnson. But I didn't turn back to look at him. I just heard it. And then he put his hands on me, so I felt the power of the Holy Spirit just come upon me. It was like very electrifying. And then right away I said, but I don't know how to speak the word of the Lord. And so then a woman next to me said, don't worry, I'll help you. I'm here to help you. So right after she said that, we were no longer standing in a stadium. We were standing in beautiful, crystal, clear water, blue, turquoise water. And we were all like standing in knee-deep water. And we were walking, we were walking in these waters. But all of a sudden, I was carrying a little girl in my hand, in my arms, I'm sorry. And so as we were walking, the water started to rise slowly. And then I saw my mom in the distance. And so I said to the little girl, I said, look, there's Tata. We used to call her Tata. And she was like so excited, and I was so excited. And so we embraced each other and hugged each other. It was just really such a joy and love. And in the meantime, the water is still rising. And so so my mom, she's kind of a short woman, and she started to like raise up her head. I said, don't worry, Mom, everything's going to be all right. Just keep lifting your head up. And that was the end of the dream. But then last week, when David was speaking the word, he said, Isaiah 30, verse 21, and your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way. Walk in it. So I thought, oh my gosh, that was in my dream. But after that dream, there were certain things that I didn't really understand about it. But then the Lord gave me Isaiah 60. You know, the one where it says, arise and shine, for your light has come. But if you go down to verse 4, it says, lift up your eyes around about and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried in the arms. Then you will be radiant. Then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will thrill and rejoice because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you. So it was just, I felt that the Lord was showing me that all of us together, we're all in it in one. It's not one leader. We're all in together. And the sea is his presence and his kingdom and his glory is just rising and rising within us. So I'll just let David take over after that.
Amen. Vivian last Sunday shared this dream as a confirmation to things that came out in the Word. I'm here to confirm what I feel is a very much a prophetic dream. I just opened up, and just as I heard it, I just realized, you know, the Lord's really showing us something here. Isaiah 30:21, that verse, the voice behind me, that's very significant. We're in a time where there's a transition with leadership. We do need leadership. We need authority. We need it displayed and demonstrated a different way. And all of us have come up in a system where there's a hierarchy, and there's certain problems that develop with that. And I believe that God wants to bring a shift in our consciousness, renew our minds, so that we can practice leadership the way Jesus demonstrated at the Last Supper. He had all authority in heaven and in earth. He kneels down to wash the disciples' feet. Problem is, we've always seen leadership only one way. It's ahead of us. And that's a good way to see it. I mean, leaders are supposed to be examples. We're supposed to be following the Lord, following their example. But the question that comes up is, when you're following someone that is speaking from the Lord or leading from the Spirit, are you following the person or are you following the voice of the Lord within your own heart? Now, hopefully the two flow together. But really, it's hard to distinguish, especially if leaders have a lot of charisma and they're speaking good things. Problem comes up when leadership gets off track. Now, we should pray for our leaders. I wish this would never happen, but sometimes it does. And you'll find people will move with, let's say a leader gets off track, all of a sudden they keep following that leadership, even though it's no longer supported by the Spirit or what the Word of God says. We've got to be careful. The important thing for believers is that we know the voice of the Lord. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." He didn't say, "My sheep can recognize every apostle, prophet." All that is good. But as sheep, we need to recognize his voice and follow his voice and be grounded in his word. So it's good to have a view of leadership leading out front. There's nothing wrong with that, but we need to incorporate this picture, this image of the voice behind us. What happens when there's a voice behind us? You don't see who's speaking to you. You hear. We learn to discern that voice of the Spirit. When a voice is behind you, it comes to support you. It comes to empower you. That's a little bit scarier. It's a lot easier if you're following, you've got somebody in front of you that you're following. But when someone's speaking behind you and you're stepping out, it's kind of like Abraham. Stepping out in faith, and all you've got to go on is what God is speaking to your heart. But you see where that can be very important. We need to see that incorporated more. So that voice behind, that reinforcing voice is so important. And what we're going to see, I think Peter addressed this. He warned the shepherds not to lord it over people. With the old model of leadership, we can't seem to get away from that, where oppression comes through. Why? Because people in leadership are just human. They have problems with their ego, there's ambition, there's all those sorts of things. And as long as we have a hierarchy, there's going to be that thing of lording it over people that comes through. Why did Peter warn about that? If leadership is lording it over people, people are not growing and advancing into the kingdom.
That's right.
So the very reason for leadership, the very purpose of having leaders is being negated because of the way it's being done. I heard a word recently where the person, I love this, he talked about it, instead of being a race to the top, and you know what I'm talking about? As people approach their view of ministry, it's a race to the top. And there's a lot of ambition that gets in there. I've got to be the greatest ministry and moving all these different things. He said it needs to be a race to the bottom. Yes. The humility that Christ had. A race to a place where we use our authority to serve and empower people, instead of ruling over them or lording it over them. I think that's the new model that God is bringing forth. So this dream talks about a voice from behind. We need to be able to recognize, all of us, God speaking to us from behind, where we're being thrust out in faith to move according to what he's speaking. One other verse with this, Revelation chapter 1. And this is John. He's in verse 10, he says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet." And then in verse 12, "And I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me." Okay. This is important because when a voice is behind us and we have to turn, it means we have to change the way we think. Isn't that what repentance is all about? Turning from an old way of thinking into something new? So again, that voice from behind requires us to think differently. I think a lot of us don't recognize the difficulty in following the voice of the Lord, because we think that we can follow his voice and hold on to our old way of thinking. God's voice is a wonderful thing as long as I don't have to change. Tell me to go point A, point B, but don't require my thinking, my conditioned thoughts, my perspective to change. Yet the voice of the Lord will always impact us in that way. At some point, you can't follow his voice if you're not willing to let go of your own thoughts and have a new mindset. We try to follow the voice of the Lord with our carnal mind. It doesn't work too well, does it? Because all that happens is we're unable to get out of the prison of our own thinking. We just go round and around. The voice of the Lord is in our life to launch us into new territory, new revelation. So we talk about the Spirit. Now, the dream, she heard the voice. The voice activated the presence of God. I think, Vivian, at least I have written down, you said you were filled with the Spirit. You felt that electrifying. And then the question comes up, this is great, but I don't know how to speak the word. Once we are filled with the Spirit and we're listening to the Lord, we truly recognize our need for one another. This is where the body ministry comes in. The Holy Spirit is not in our life to lead us around the same mountain. The Holy Spirit does not lead you in circles in your own religious conditioning. We do that with our religious mindset. The Holy Spirit energizes us into new territory, new revelation, where we haven't gone before. All of us are not equipped in ourselves to launch ahead. We need one another. Now, in learning to relate to one another in the Spirit, there's two things I want us to look at. One is, you find in Matthew 25, Jesus talked about the sheep and the goats. Remember he said, when I was sick, you came and you visited me. When I was in prison, you came and visited. When I was hungry, you gave me food. What's interesting here is there's nothing supernatural going on in this story he's talking about. All he's saying is if you want to be a sheep, you got to care. He didn't say, when I was sick, you healed me. That's always nice. He said, you came and you cared, you visited me. So that's one way we're together. We relate to one another with a caring, loving heart. We need that. The other way is we all have an anointing that's given not to break our own personal yoke. It's given to break the yoke of your brother and sister. I don't think we recognize this. And I think the enemy tries to just, you know, keep us under some kind of cloud with all our opinions about one another and judging one another and criticizing. You think, that's a drag, isn't it? We all get tired of that. But why is it so easy? Why are we so susceptible to that? Because it keeps us from the awareness of the anointing we carry to set one another free. If I'm living in my opinions of you or I'm criticizing you, then I'm not recognizing that I have an anointing to impart life to you. Amen. So in launching forward, in speaking, or should we say manifesting the Word of God, we need the synergy of the body. We need the right relating in the Spirit to energize one another. Now, Isaiah 61, Isaiah talked about the commission that the Lord also talked about in the gospel that he walked in. You remember, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He lists a number of things that he lived and did. Two of them is to bring liberty to captives, freedom to prisoners. Okay, we're talking about this anointing that we need from one another. There's a difference between captive and prisoner, being a captive and being a prisoner. When you're a prisoner and you're in jail, it means you've done something wrong. When you're a captive, it means you were, you know, in your house and some other enemy came in and took you away like they took Israel away to Babylon. It's not that you did something wrong, it's just someone overpowered you. Both areas keep us imprisoned. Being a prisoner, we listen to the lies of the enemy, the condemning voice. And what does he remind us of? what we have done or doing wrong. So we get become a prisoner to an old self that Jesus went to the cross, paid the price for, and set us free from. We have authority. Remember, he told the disciples, whomever you forgive, their sins have been forgiven. We have an anointing to break the lie of condemnation that assaults each other. We can open those prison doors. You say, well, I'm in prison because I deserve to be here. No, that's the lie of the enemy. Jesus Christ has set you free. You're a new creature. But we need one another to really be aware of that truth.
That's right.
Right? How about being captives? People feel they've been victimized in life. They've been overpowered. Maybe they're under the control of some person or persons or whatever. We need that anointing to come in and set people free so they know what their identity is. When Israel was carried away into Babylon, it's like their identity was stripped away. It wasn't just living someplace else. What they felt like was, God doesn't care anymore. I don't know who I am. I belong to someone else. We don't belong to the spirit of this age. We're not to be victims. God wants captives set free. He wants us to know our identity in him. We can walk in a boldness of who we are in him. Okay, this is what we minister to one another. In the Old Testament, I'm going to bring this around. I want to bring a word on the Tabernacle of David. But I found it so fascinating. You know how that came about? And we'll go into the history another time. You had this tent, the Ark of the Covenant was inside, and the presence of God was there. It was a place where the priests would minister 24 hours a day. They had different shifts, and it was all about worship. This went on for nearly 40 years. And you say, isn't that nice? Well, that's great. The question is, how did David come up with that? God instructed the Israelites to build, remember the Tabernacle of Moses? Very specifically, how it was to be built in minute detail. The Tabernacle of Moses was all about sacrifice, burnt offerings, blood sacrifice, about atonement of sin. Once a year, the high priest went in on the Day of Atonement, the presence of God. It wasn't accessible. So that was David's history. And all of a sudden, he does something that you could say, well, David's breaking the law here. That's not what Moses said. Yet God blessed it. You see, whenever the Spirit of God is moving, it's new territory, new land. David was a man after God's own heart. He loved the presence of God so much. He reached into something that didn't belong in his day.
Amen.
Did he? I mean, I don't think. He said, God, I love you so much. I know what the law says, and we can only do this and can't do that, but I've got to be in your presence. That's why in Psalm 51 he said, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Don't take that presence from me. He valued that more than anything. That same psalm, he says, burnt offerings you don't desire, God. Whoa. You have a whole law that says this is what God does require. But David was tapping into something deeper. He said, you're not looking for that. You want a broken spirit, a contrite heart. The Spirit led David into uncharted territory. You say, well, that's kind of scary. We got to make sure that we stick in the scriptures. Well, let's look at that. What did God first want with the Israelites when they came out of Egypt? He says, I want a kingdom of priests. I'm bringing you out of Egypt. I want you to come to my mountain and worship me. David gave God what God was always after. But the people said, no, the presence of God is something we got to establish a distance from. So God said, okay, you want distance from me? Here's all the rules that will govern that distance. David's heart was too much, there's too much passion for God to be limited by that. Now, let's go to the New Testament, book of Acts. Things are happening there. Same thing, the Holy Spirit is leading them into uncharted territory, new revelation. And what you have happening is all of a sudden the Gentiles are getting baptized in the Spirit. And, you know, to us, we look at that and say, well, of course, the gospel was for the whole world. But you got to remember with the disciples, their mindset was it was for the Jewish people. Remember, Peter has that vision. He goes to the house of Cornelius. He sees what God is doing for the Gentiles. Well, in Acts 15, they have this conference, all the apostles, because they don't know what's going on. The Spirit is moving, and they don't know what to do about it.
Amen.
It wasn't just that God was saving the Gentiles. That was something to wrap their mind around, that the gospel was for all of mankind, human race. But now they're saying, okay, what do we do when they come in? Are they supposed to be under the same Jewish traditions that we're under? And the Spirit begins to speak and move as they're gathered together, as they're flowing together. Again, new revelation of what to do. And he says, of course, you know Paul addressed the Galatians about the legalism of the Jewish traditions, and you shouldn't lay that on the Gentiles. But they also had to have certain things in place where the Gentiles knew that they couldn't continue in their idolatry. Well, I don't go into all that. But the point is, they needed each other. Whenever the Spirit moves, something new is going to come forth. It will be backed by the Word of God, but our understanding of the Word of God has got to deepen to be aware of it. In Acts 15, let's look at this real quick, and you can read this later. James speaks, he talks about what Simon had shared. This is in verse 15. In verse 16, after these things I will return, I will rebuild the tabernacle of David which has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins, I will restore it in order that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord and all the Gentiles who are called by my name. And you read down through here and you realize that together there was that divine energy, anointing that was flowing. They were able to move into something new. See, all that to say that that's how we move forward today as the body of Christ. Individuals, we have to have that heart that's willing for new things. Isaiah, behold, I will do something new. Will you be aware? We have to be in a place to say, yes, I choose to be aware of what the Spirit's doing.
Amen.
But also to recognize that we need one another to move forward. Now, this dream is so beautiful because you have the Lord, the voice of God activating the presence of the Lord, and then you have the help coming from the body. And as soon as that was in place, you remember what happened with the dream? She was in this water. And that's in Ezekiel 47. Let's turn there. It's water from the temple, and you can read this later. For the sake of time, I'm not going to take too much time with it. But when we are led by his voice, when we are open and humble to receive the impartation from our brothers and sisters, we're in a place for the presence of God to grow within our life. Ezekiel 47, that's the, remember the water from the temple, how the water would keep rising and would flow out, I think is a pure prophetic picture of what it's supposed to be like in the body of Christ today. To me, this describes what it means to be a Christian. Now, a lot of people describe being a Christian means you know your Bible, you know your scriptures, you've got your doctrines lined up, you go to church. To be a Christian means to be like Christ. And what was he? The presence of God came upon him and did not depart.
Amen.
The presence of God continually flowed through the Lord, demonstrating who the Father was. Our destiny, whatever ministry you have, calling, is for God's presence to be able to rest and be in you. Now, we all know we have the Holy Spirit. We have the presence of God. When you receive Jesus into your life, it's there. But the question is that presence going to be activated and growing like this vision of the water? Verse 1, it says, the water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east. What comes from the east? The sun. The water of the Spirit always flows to the Lord. It always flows in one direction. And as Ezekiel was watching this vision, the water kept growing and growing and growing, flowing out. Remember when it went out, one thing it says, when it went out to the waters of the sea became fresh. This presence of God is meant to be a growing reality within us. What it means to be a Christian is just this dream. We're to be standing in the water of the Spirit. And I think a lot of times in the past we may have looked at it, well, let's see, I've got a quart jar here. Here's the Spirit. This guy over here has a gallon jar. I guess he must be more spiritual. You can't contain the Spirit of God. If we're going to really be led by the Spirit, it's just a growing reality. It's not something you bottle up. It's not something you control. It fills you and it spills out. And what spills out when it hits the salt water, when it hits humanity, it turns everything fresh. It brings life to everything.
Amen.
Another verse talks about how its leaves, so the trees that grow by it, are for the healing of the nations. And that came out this morning. So this is all activated within us. This is a vision of how we're to function as a body. And I like the last part is the carrying the daughter, the child, walking through the water. What a beautiful image that is. When we're walking in the Spirit, when the presence of God is flowing, there's a quality of nurturing that's going to always be there. You remember when the Israelites were in the wilderness and how difficult it was for them? God described it this way. He said, I carried you like a father carries his son. I don't think they felt that way about it most of the time, but that's how God described it. And in these days, as the presence of God is released through his people, you know, again, when we look at Ezekiel, it's not a physical temple, right? God's not returning to a building. He's not returning to a religion. God wants to dwell in his people and manifest through his people. New Testament is very clear. We are the temple that God is inhabiting. So here's this water that's meant to continually rise within us and flow out. And here's a mother carrying a child. In the atmosphere of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which shakes up all our thinking, like we talked about, you can't remain in your own thoughts and following the voice of God. And we all look at that and go, oh boy, wonder what thoughts he's talking about. None of us are that good at change when he's shaking up our preconceived ideas, right? But in the midst of that, it's the most nurturing, safe atmosphere to be in. It's an atmosphere where the mother carries the child, where people can feel safe and just grow in the Spirit. That's a beautiful image. And I like it when the last part about her mother, I didn't see this before. Her mother was kind of getting maybe a little bit nervous. I don't know. And Vivian said, just, you know, hold your head up. You know, how do we walk in these days of the Spirit being poured out? Holding your head up. They're not in pride, but it means keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord, and we can flow together in the Spirit. Yes. Anyway, I think this is just a beautiful dream. So apropos to what we're reaching for right now. And I think what we need to recognize and what God wants us to realize is not just that we have his Spirit within us, we have his presence, but God wants that presence to be set free. We're to be a people that are aware of who we're carrying. And how's the world around us going to change? You know, if you could videotape this Ezekiel 47 and you were looking at a movie of it, you wouldn't comment and say, oh, look at that temple. Oh, isn't that temple beautiful? Or, well, that temple needs some rehab work. What are you going to say if you're watching a movie of that? You're going to say, where did that water come from? Why is that water rising? Oh, my gosh, that water's hitting the ocean and everything's becoming fresh. The focus would be on the water, not the temple. And as we move into this day of the Spirit that's happening, that's unfolding, the focus is not going to be on the temple, on us. People are going to marvel at the water that keeps rising. They're going to marvel and be aware of the Spirit of the Lord that reaches out and touches their lives. Amen. Lord, bless the word to our hearts.